Today, you're banned. Thanks, Elbo. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Letters World, and that is Post covering finance and proper news. Well, the federal parliament has passed legislation to ban people under 16 years old from having an account with some social media platforms.
The following message from the Senate has been received. The Senate returns to the House of Representatives a bill for an act to amend the Online Safety Act of 2021 and for related purposes, and informs the House that the Senate has agreed to the bill with the amendments in the annexed schedule. The Senate requests the concurrence of the House in the amendments. I give the call to the Leader of the House.
I move the amendments be considered immediately.
I'll put the question. Those opinions say aye.
Aye.
Against no.
Aye.
I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. I understand that it is the wish of the House to consider the amendments together, and I give the call to the Leader of the House.
I move the amendments be agreed to.
The question is the amendments be agreed to. I put the question. Those opinions say aye.
Aye.
Against no. I think the ayes have it.
In doing so, it's ignored advice from a chorus of experts and from the Australian Human Rights Commission, which said the government rushed the legislation through Parliament without taking the time to get the details right, or even knowing how the ban will work in practice. And there was actually a very good write-up in The Conversation that I'm using as part of this show. Now, they said in The Conversation that the ban is backed by around 77% of Australians. That's according to one new poll. Although how objective that is open to question. And of course, the legislation won't take effect for at least 12 months. So my big question is, why on earth the rush? Well, as I suggested in my earlier post, there are some hidden hands here from the likes of the World Economic Forum and also the Murdoch Press, both of whom have their fingers on the scales. Now, though passed, it was also appallingly mismanaged. The ban is very controversial, with many experts highly critical. That made it all the more necessary for the legislation to have proper parliamentary scrutiny. More than 15,000 submissions were received by the Senate committee that looked at the bill. The committee took just one morning's evidence on Monday, and on Tuesday tabled its report. And it's worth noting that as the bill was discussed in the Senate and voted on, there were more than 30,000 people watching the live stream, not on the official YouTube channel from Parliament, but by an enterprising YouTuber who was actually going live with it, which shows you the power of social media. Anyway, kudos to the senators who stood up against the bill right down to the wire as it passed the Senate, and there was some very important commentary by those senators on the way through. We will just drop a few of those in now.
I rise today in support of this legislation, and I want to make one thing abundantly clear from the outset. The Coalition has always been firmly opposed to the implementation of a mandatory digital ID. There is rightfully widespread concern in the community about the security of personal data. With data breaches and leaks from major corporations dominating the news, it's entirely understandable that Australians are worried about the safety of their private information. But beyond the issues of data security, there is a much bigger concern at the heart of this debate: the growing dangers that social media poses for our children. And when it comes to the tech giants, platforms like Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and TikTok, it's clear these mega corporations have shown time and time again that they have not prioritised our children's safety. I echo the very real concerns of many who reached out to me on this matter, and I want to be clear that I don't support any system, including a digital ID, that compromises the privacy and security of Australians. Such things should always be voluntary. Thanks to the efforts of the Coalition, the bill includes crucial safeguards that prevent social media companies from forcing anyone to hand over sensitive personal information or documentation. This bill is not about restricting individual freedoms or lecturing parents on how to raise their children. It's about giving parents the tools and support they need to protect their kids from the very real dangers that are online. The core focus of this legislation is simple. It demands that social media companies take reasonable steps to identify and remove underage users from their platforms. This is a responsibility these companies should have been fulfilling long ago, but for too long they have shirked these responsibilities in favour of profit. This is not a radical concept, it's a necessary one. Similar provisions are already in place in places like Florida, Utah, and Louisiana, where social media companies are required to take reasonable steps to verify the ages of their users. These steps are overseen by regulators, ensuring that companies are held accountable for their actions. Under this legislation, failure to comply could result in fines of up to $50 million. Let's be clear, these companies have the capability to act. They can deploy their vast resources when they choose to do so. Take TikTok, for example. In 2023, TikTok removed 76 million underage accounts globally, including 1 million right here in Australia. So that's 76 million underage accounts globally they removed. And they did that of their own accord. And it wasn't too difficult, too complex, too hard, or anything like that. They just did it. They did this also without requiring digital IDs or any sensitive personal documentation. Instead, they used technology they already have. They used technology that they already use. The same technology that they can use to customise feeds and algorithms, which they do every single day. They use it to identify underage users. If TikTok can do this, so can other tech giants like Meta, which is valued at some $2 trillion. Imagine if there were a financial incentive to identify underage accounts. I expect we wouldn't have to wait too long to see some outcomes in that regard. Mark Zuckerberg and his billionaire peers have repeatedly demonstrated that they care more about money than they do about the safety and the mental health of our children. They have the ability to do this without compromising or changing any mechanisms of privacy that people have not already handed over when they open their own accounts voluntarily. This bill takes a big stick approach. It's the only way to get their attention and force them to make the changes that are so desperately needed. We must hold them to account, and this legislation does just that. Social media and the digital world is an ever-evolving tech behemoth, and it's long overdue for our laws to evolve with it. Ask any millennial what their online experiences were like 10 years ago, and compared to now, you'll see a massive shift, and it's not a good shift. It's not a positive one. Social media platforms for young people were once dominated by dedicated safe spaces for children. Sites like Club Penguin, where families felt confident that their kids were protected. But today, that landscape has changed dramatically. Studies show that just a single exposure to extremist, racist, misogynistic, or violent content can trigger algorithms that push even more harmful content to the viewer. Just one view, and then it can become part of your standard feed. So a child just needs to happen across at once, and then it'll keep coming. And we aren't talking about websites on the dark web. We aren't talking about obscure blogs on the depths of the internet. We are talking about content that is littered across TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. TikTok, which was deliberately designed to be addictive. Think about that for a moment. Do we really want 13-year-old children being exposed to this kind of platform and content where their purpose was to make it addictive to our children. This should be unfathomable, yet here we are. The protection of children from the toxic elements of social media and the online space is one of the most urgent issues of our time. And this is not about telling parents how to care for their children. Parents are already doing everything that they can. But social media is one of the biggest problems discussed among parents across our country. I've spoken to countless parents who are literally crying out for help, telling me they need action to protect their children from the risks online. Polling from YouGov shows that 77% of parents support measures to safeguard children from the harmful effects of social media. Parents know the dangers these platforms pose for their children, and they want us to help them take action. They want us to help them protect their children. The data tells a harrowing story. The mental health of Australian children, especially girls, has deteriorated at an alarming rate over the past decade. Hospitalisations for self-harm among girls aged 10 to 14 have increased by over 300% in that time. Young boys are targeted by sexual predators, with the AFP reporting hundreds of incidents this year alone. And these are those that... And what about those that go unreported, where the parents are unaware of the grooming and attempted grooming of their children? There need to be mechanisms in place to minimise this as much as humanly possible. We had a hearing on Monday, albeit a brief one, in relation to this matter, and I was deeply disturbed by some of the comments from one of the witnesses who suggested that there was an exaggeration as to the harms found online. I don't think there's an exaggeration. I think it's very real. And I think it's incredibly problematic. And I think if we continue to pretend that it's not happening, it will continue to get worse and worse unchecked. We have a responsibility and an accountability to protect these children. I read an article recently which talked about the challenge of putting this genie back into the bottle. We can't walk away from this just because it's hard. We can't walk away from it just because it's uncomfortable. And we can't walk away from it just because, you know, some of the kids won't like it. And that's a reality. It's a shift and it's a change in what we have said is acceptable. But what we are saying here today is that we do not think it's acceptable for our children to be exposed to harms and predators online and for that to continue to occur under our watch.
Relation to this piece of legislation, and firstly let me say what a disgrace it is that this bill, only tabled in the House of Representatives last Thursday, is now being railroaded and rushed through the process here across the parliament. Tabled in the House on Thursday, sent to a Senate inquiry that only sat for 3 hours on Monday. Submissions from stakeholders and interested parties were open for less than 24 hours on Friday. Talk about putting out the bins, taking out the rubbish. That's exactly how this whole bill has been treated by the major parties. And the reason that this bill is being rushed without scrutiny, without appropriate review, is because both the Leader of the Opposition, Mr Dutton, and the Prime Minister are worried that if people really knew about what the consequences of this piece of legislation mean, they wouldn't support it. Mr Dutton is desperate, despite all the hoo-ha and the flurry we've had in here this morning about rushing pieces through and guillotining bills through this place. This is the one piece of legislation that the Liberal coalition, the Liberal and the National Party, want rammed through this place this week. This is the one thing, and every Australian voter and every Liberal Party and National Party voter should hear this. The Liberal Party, the one priority they have this week is to smash this piece of legislation through without review. Why? Because Mr Dutton doesn't want people to notice. Mr Dutton does not want people to notice that despite the huge concern, the wheels falling off on his own side, the fact he can't keep his own people in the tent, he wants it rammed through at a minute to midnight, Christmas Eve, the last day of the parliamentary year, because he doesn't want people to notice. I mean, this is the bloke who talks tough. This is the bloke who says, you know, I will be tough on this and I will be tough on this and I will say what needs to be said. He is hiding. He is hiding on this bill and he's rushing it through and he doesn't want people to notice. What a load of gutlessness from the Leader of the Opposition. But of course, it suits the government of the day as well. Because despite expert after expert after expert, this bill will not keep children or young people safe. It won't. And I understand the best endeavours and intentions of people in this place and around the country who want to make social media safer for our children and our young people. We need to make social media safer for everybody, for women, for people of colour, for those who are isolated, for older Australians who feel totally unable to engage and understand how quickly this technology has happened. We, of course, know it's senior Australians who are continually duped and tricked and targeted by scammers on social media. They need protection too. They need to be able to know that when they log on to Facebook or they open up YouTube or they participate in sharing their playlist on Spotify, young and old Australians have the right to know the platform is safe. We wouldn't expect that the rules of safety, respect, civil discourse are out the window in the car park at Coles. We don't think that just because something happens in the car park at Coles rather than the car park at Woolworths, that there is a different set of rules and standards and laws to be enforced. But here we have a situation where online and in social media, it's a free-for-all. So we do need to do something about making these platforms safer. For far too long, the big tech companies have hoodwinked governments, have hoodwinked bureaucrats, have set their own rules, made massive profits off self-regulating or non-regulating themselves. And it's time that that was reined in. But that's not what this bill does. This bill gives a false sense of security. It gives the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition a fig leaf to say they understand, they care about parents' concerns about children and young people online, but they're trying to fool Australian parents. They're trying to look like they're doing something while actually doing not much at all. I think this is really dangerous. I think giving Australian parents a false sense of security is actually going to make things more harmful for our young people online, more harmful for women on social media, more dangerous for our young people, our teenagers who are already dealing with so many issues in this world. This is a bill that is the example of the emperor with no clothes. And Peter Dutton and Anthony Albanese, as the leaders of the two major parties who want to rush this through without scrutiny, they're standing there side by side naked. They don't have the they are emperors with no clothes. And they want people to be fooled. We actually need a serious debate about what we do to make these platforms genuinely safer, so that young people aren't exploited, targeted, harassed. They're not in danger of harassment or distress. But that's not what this bill does. If this government really cared about making these platforms safer, you wouldn't be rushing this. You would be putting a duty of care on these platforms to make them responsible for ensuring they have a legal requirement and responsibility to protect their customers, to protect the users, to protect everyday people. But instead, this bill lets the big tech companies off the hook by pretending that young people can just be banned from the internet. There's been some promises made around regulating the platforms to make them safer, make them more responsible, stop them from profiteering off harmful content. But none of that is in this bill. The social media ban is the emperor with no clothes. Fool's gold. It's pretend. It's like going to the reject shop, purchasing the dodgy floaties, putting them on your kids, and then saying, "There you go, kids, jump in the deep end, see how you float." No parent would responsibly do that. And the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition shouldn't make them do it. This bill is rubbish. And I'm angry about it because it doesn't actually meet the needs, the very serious needs of the concerns and the very real concerns that parents have. It's pretend. The Prime Minister and Peter Dutton are pretending to deal with a very, very serious issue. There's a reason they didn't want this to go through a proper Senate inquiry. There is a reason they don't want people talking about it. There's a reason this is being done at the last minute of this parliamentary session, and it's because they know it's a bad piece of legislation, that it won't do what they say it will do, but they don't want people to know about it. Trying to fool the Australian population that they are doing this in the interests of children is abhorrent. They're not. They're doing it in their own political interests. This is a political fix, not a social media fix. The ban is rubbish.
You just said that taking mobile phones off children at school has been very, very successful. The question I have is, why can't you take mobile phones off children when they're at home? We take the phones off our children in the bedroom. We take them off the phone during the weekdays. They're allowed to have the mobile phone or the devices on the weekend, but you know that's in between sporting requirements, me forcing them to take the dog for the walk, you know, the mother telling them to get out there on the trampoline, go gardening, whatever. So I'm confused as to why we can't have some good old-fashioned parental supervision. Whatever happened to the role of the family, the role of the parents in the family? And I've been advocating for years the need to have a parent to stay at home while you're raising your children. And I stayed at home for 4 years. I don't want to turn this into a saying women should stay at home. I've never said that, because dad should stay at home more often. And indeed, I was just talking to Senator Hanson-Young yesterday. She's saying how she fought to have children in the chamber. And what a great thing that is. What a great thing that is. So yet again, we've got another example of whereby the government thinks it can solve a problem. And, you know, I know Senator Henderson said before there's things like anorexia and, you know, children are subjected to these things on the internet, and that's fair enough, they are, but these things have always been around. Kate Moss, you know, she was being criticised back in the 1990s. I mean, I well remember Karen Carpenter, who died from anorexia, I'm not sure, in the late 70s or early 80s. So we always have to deal with issues with our children, and the important thing is that they have close parental supervision so that you can detect if something's going on. Now, the other thing is, and I've raised this before, but it's worth raising again, is that you can have software that monitors your children's activity. We do that already. We monitor our children, and it is effective, because we do have a middle child that loves to get up at about 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and the only way we can bust him is to actually... Yes.
Yeah. So, he's,
you know, he sneaks the iPad into his room. He's terrible. So yet again, like, what guarantees do we have here that this is actually going to be effective? Because I think you'll find that children are very good at getting around laws. And what guarantees are we going to have that this is going to stop bullying? We can't stop bullying. This won't stop bullying per se. You know, what will stop bullying per se is, again, having a parent keeping a close eye on the children while they're growing up, and being in touch with your parent, children, so if they are being bullied, you're aware of it. And I'll note the question, you know, a question raised the other day about VPNs. 33% of people in this country use VPNs, and I suspect most of that 33% are probably under 40, because most people over 40 probably wouldn't even know what a VPN is. And that's so virtual private network, and that's where effectively, you know, and the reply from the government was, in estimates, was that, well, we're going to get the social media companies to track the person if they have a VPN through geo-tracking. So here we've got, again, Big Brother surveillance coming in and, you know, watching every little thing we do, you know, every breath you take. So, you know, what is it? Every time we come down here, I feel like we're just holding the line, and we're not even doing that when it comes to government overreach and surveillance and command and control.
My remarks are directed to the Minister, but also to people listening at home and to the Senate, and also to researchers and historians who will look back on this vote today in an attempt to understand what the hell the Senate was thinking. The amendment the government circulated, no doubt with the approval of the Liberal Party, answers that question. The Online Safety Amendment Social Media Minimum Age Bill 2024 can act to force every Australian to be the subject of a digital ID in the name of keeping the children safe. And that's what my question is about, Minister. The committee accepted widespread public concern the bill was designed to force everyone to get a digital ID and promised to include an amendment to specifically rule that out. This government amendment, SY115, that you've moved, new provision 63DB1, excludes the use of government-issued identification or use of a digital ID. Great. Except 63DB2 provides that if social media platforms can come up with an alternative means of assessing age that does not involve digital ID or government documents, then they can, wait for it, accept a digital ID identification. In effect, this amendment specifies a social media platform cannot use digital ID by itself, but it can use digital ID as part of a more comprehensive verification. There's no need to guess what that could be. This bill contains the answer: age assurance software. The company which has been awarded the tender for the age assurance trial is a British company called Age Check Certification Scheme, whose main business is the provision of digital IDs backed by age assurance software. TikTok has used age assurance software to remove 1 million underage accounts from TikTok in Australia. The software can tell if a person is, for instance, under 12. That's useful. The smaller the gap between the user and the target age, 16 in this case, the less accurate it is. This software can't tell age within 6 months and has no way of knowing the person turned 16 on the day of their application. You just can't tell that from a face scan. Accessing social media on your 16th birthday, and most likely for months afterwards, will require a second identifier containing that child's facial scan and their birth and their date of birth, which is a digital ID, which this company specialises in. You're setting them up. I've criticised this bill as an opportunistic attempt to capitalise on the public desire for better regulation of social media to force all Australians to get a digital ID. I'll say that again. I've criticised this bill repeatedly, as have others, as an opportunistic attempt to capitalise on the public desire for better regulation of social media to force all Australians to get a digital ID. This amendment requires a change in my language, which is now. This bill is an opportunistic attempt to require every child, once they turn 16, to get a digital ID if they want to access social media. What age does the government's digital ID start from? 16. What a coincidence! This wasn't the intention all along. That's misinformation. This amendment actually exposes the original intention of the bill. Your amendment exposes the original intention of the bill, which was hidden in what looked like a poorly drafted bill. It wasn't poorly drafted. It was deliberately dishonest, and the short committee referral, which the government fought against, has exposed the deceit. The truth is now out there, and the decision before the Senate is a simple one. A vote for this bill is a vote to require every child to get a digital ID on their 16th birthday. Compulsory digital IDs aside, there are many other reasons to not pass this bill. I will now share with the Senate and with posterity the words of Australia's Human Rights Commission on the bill. One Nation fully supports the Commission's position, which deserves to be included in the Hansard record of the debate. I'll quote: "Social media is a vital platform for young people to share their ideas and opinions, engage in dialogue and participate in social and cultural activities. It can be a valuable educational tool by providing access to diverse perspectives, new and learning opportunities, as well as vital information about health, well-being and safety. A blanket ban risks unjustly curtailing these freedoms. Social media is integral to modern communication and socialisation. Excluding young people from these platforms may isolate them from their peers and limit their ability to access much needed information and support. This is particularly important for young people from marginalised, vulnerable or remote communities. The social media ban will rely on effective age assurance processes." This is their words, Human Rights Commission. "The social media ban will rely on effective age assurance processes being adopted, which means that all Australians may be required to prove their identity in order to access social media. This may potentially require all Australians to provide social media companies, all Australians, to provide social media companies with sensitive identity information, which poses a risk to our privacy rights in light of recent examples of data breaches and personal information being stolen. Technical workarounds, such as VPNs and false age declarations, may undermine the effectiveness of the ban. Additionally, a ban will not address the root cause of online risk or make the platform safer for everyone." End of quote.
Very much, Chair. Well, look, I think from the debate it's very clear that we are not sure yet whether this hasty, blunt attempt will do anything to reduce the social harms to children of social media. But what we do know for sure is that we have successfully disillusioned a whole generation of Australians with Australian politics. A whole generation of Australians have watched this saga, this sordid saga over the past week play out and be completely, completely disillusioned with their democratic process that they should have an involvement in, that we've completely denied them their voice. I mean, maybe we've scheduled the debate for 10:30 p.m. on the last day of school because we know that all the people that will be impacted by this ban will be at bed. It's past their bedtime. They can't even watch it. They haven't been able to have a process through their Senate inquiry. We had 15,000 submissions in 24 hours, and we had an inquiry of 3 hours the day after. And nobody, of course, could read anything but a fraction of those submissions. Only less than 1% of them were published on the website before the report. This is an absolute outrage and a stitch-up of grand proportions. And I don't think it's going to work. And I don't have time tonight because I want to let other senators speak. I don't think it is going to work. I know that the stitch-up is in, so I am going to try and make the bill better. I am going to try and fix the issue that Senator Roberts logically pointed out there. Why are we letting digital ID be a means of identification at all? It's not used at the moment at all, really. It's not in widespread use. So why don't we just rule that out right now? If it's something that comes into use in years to come, we can always change the law. There's a review built into this law in 2 years' time. We can do it then. If we were serious about responding to the concerns about digital ID, let's just get rid of it. And my amendment would do that. I've also think, why is it that we've got this bill that seeks to, we think, we say, the minister says, to help parents, and the word parent is not mentioned at all in the bill? There's not a single mention of the word parent in this bill. Why? Why? Why aren't we helping parents rather than try to replace them? That's what this bill tries to do. It tries to set up a nanny state where we think here in Canberra that we can pass this law and all look how great we are, pat ourselves on the back, how we've saved the world, when it won't do that and it won't help at all. Parents use their own agency, their own interaction with their children to use social media responsibly. So I have an amendment which would allow some children to continue to use social media with parental approval. It's based on the law in Florida that's just gone through. Our inquiry barely looked at that law. It went through after an actual process. It got vetoed by the governor in the first instance. It went back to the Congress in Florida and they've improved it. That's the way a democracy should work. But we've just completely rode roughshod over that through this hasty process, truncated process this week. I have another amendment that would seek to narrow the definition here. There's a ridiculous definition in this bill which captures basically any app that enables interaction between two or more people, which is basically everything you do on the internet. It's going to cover apps like Strava. For bike riding, it's going to cover apps like Deputy that are used for people who work. 14-year-olds can get a job, but they can't have social media, apparently. Now, I know the minister's going to say that, oh, we'll exempt them and we'll do all this, but why? Why create this uncertainty when, again, the Florida law has a much more targeted definition which focuses the law on apps which cause social harm? That's what we should be focused on here. Now, I don't have the time to go through the others in detail. I want to let other senators have their turn. But I do come back to the point that a whole generation has been activated by this process. There is a silver lining here, perhaps. Right now, a guy called Mr. Anthony Kalouf is running a live stream of our broadcast here. He has 38,000 people watching. The official YouTube channel of Parliament has 800. He's got 38,000 young people absolutely pissed off with this Parliament right now watching. They are totally angry, and those people are going to grow up. And they're going to keep voting. And I think there's going to be a lot of change coming to our parliament years to come if we keep ignoring those people like we are tonight.
Anyway, what have we got then is the big question, of course, now. The legislation amends the current Online Safety Act of 2021, and it defines an age-restricted user as a person under the age of 16. However, it does not name specific platforms that will be subject to the ban. Instead, the legislation defines an age-restricted social media platform as including services where the sole purpose or a significant purpose is to enable online social interaction between people. People can link to or interact with others on the service. People can post material, or it falls under other conditions as set out in the legislation. Now, it's interesting to note the legislation does note that some services are excluded but does not name specific platforms. For example, while services providing online social interaction would be included in the ban, this would not include online business interaction. While it remains unclear exactly which social media platforms will be subject to the ban, those that are will face fines of up to 50 million Aussie dollars if they don't take reasonable steps to stop under-16s from having accounts. Now, while there were reports that YouTube will be exempt, the government has not explicitly confirmed this. What is clear at the moment is that people under 16 years will be able to view the content on main platforms online, but just without an account. The legislation does not mention messaging apps such as WhatsApp and Messenger, or gaming platforms such as Minecraft specifically. However, news reports have quoted the government as saying those would be excluded, along with services with the primary purpose of supporting the health and education of end users. So it's unclear what platforms would be excluded in those cases. It's down to what the minister thinks. In passing the final legislation, the government included additional amendments to its original proposal. For example, tech companies cannot collect government-issued identification, such as passports and driver's licenses, as the only means of confirming someone's age. They can, however, collect government-issued identification if other alternative age assurance methods have been provided to users. And there must also be an independent review after 2 years to consider the adequacy of privacy protections and other issues. So what does this all mean for the tech companies? Well, as well as having to verify the age of people wanting to create an account, tech companies will also need to verify the age of existing account holders regardless of their age. This will be a significant logistical challenge. Will there be a single day when every Australian with a social media account has to sign in and prove their age? An even bigger concern is how tech companies will be able to verify a user's age. The legislation provides little clarity about this. Now, there are a few options that social media platforms might pursue. One option might be for them to check someone's age using credit cards as a proxy linked to a person's App Store account, for example. Communications Minister Michelle Rowland said previously that this strategy would be included in the age verification trials that are currently underway. YouTube, for example, has previously enabled users to gain access to age-restricted content using a credit card. However, this approach would exclude access for people who meet the age requirement of being over 16, but who do not hold credit cards. Another option is to use facial recognition technology. This technology is among the various strategies being trialled for the government to restrict ages of both social media platforms for age under 16 and online pornography for ages under 18. The trial is being run by a consortium led by Age Check Certification Scheme based in the UK. And the results won't be known until the middle of 2025. However, there is already significant evidence that facial recognition systems contain significant biases and inaccuracies. For example, commercially available facial recognition systems have an error rate of about 0.8% for light-skinned men, compared with nearly 35% for dark-skinned women. Even some of the best-performing systems in use currently, such as Yoti, which Meta currently offers to Australian users ahead of a global rollout, has an average error rate of almost 2 years for people between the ages of 13 to 16 years. And what about the digital duty of care? Remember that? Earlier this month, the government promised to impose a digital duty of care on tech companies. This would require the companies to regularly conduct thorough risk assessments of the content on their platforms. And companies would need to respond to consumer complaints resulting in the removal of potentially harmful content. This duty of care is backed by experts and by the Human Rights Law Centre. A parliamentary inquiry into the social media ban legislation also recommended the government legislate this. It remains unclear exactly when the government will fulfil its promise to do just that. But even if the duty of care is legislated, that doesn't preclude the need for more investment in digital literacy. Parents, teachers and children need support to understand how to navigate social media platforms safely. And in the end, social media platforms should be safe spaces for all users. They provide valuable information and community engagement opportunities to people of all ages. The onus is now on the tech companies to restrict access for youth under 16. However, the work needed to keep all of us safe and to hold the tech companies accountable for the content they provide is only just beginning. And if indeed they continue to join the dots between digital identification and other digital services, this still has the way of becoming the thin end of the digital control wedge. So the bottom line is, well, despite the Senate's best efforts, this legislation is incoming, but of course it's so vague as to be really very, very difficult to know how it's going to play out. And meantime, it means that those who are younger may not be exposed to social media until they turn 16, when, bingo, it's open season. So there's a whole bunch of new issues being formed there as well. This is massive disaster. The process should have been extended. The discussion should have been more extensive. And we'd have had a much better piece of legislation at the end of the day, because something does need to be done. But just shutting down those under 16 years seems to me to be a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And unfortunately, it's not even the right nut. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.